Hebrews chapter 11. Continue our study of this great chapter of those who live by faith. And today we're looking at one verse, one particular man who lived by faith. Verse 4. Who is that? Abel. Perhaps you didn't know too much about Abel before, but we'll learn a lot about him today. Let's come to God in prayer as we come to His Word. Let's pray together. Lord our God, the living God, we thank You that Your living Word still speaks today, just as Abel speaks. The son of Adam and Eve, so long ago, and yet one whose faith is an example for us today. Father, may we learn from that example. May we grow in our faith. May we live by faith. May we be those who speak of Jesus. And so bless the reading, the preaching, the hearing of Your Word now. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. One verse. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man. When God spoke well of his offerings, and by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. Last Lord's Day evening, we looked at what faith is. Do you remember? We had a definition of faith, the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things unseen. We had examples of faith. The Old Testament saints referred to here, those who were commended for their faith. And then we also saw the understanding of faith, that we understand that God created all that we see out of things that we do not see. Out of nothing, by the Word of God. This evening, we begin the next section in Hebrews 11, studying life of faith. And there are three people who are mentioned here in this section in Hebrews 11, who lived by faith in particular in this, it could be called a section. So the first we're looking at is Abel, verse 4. And then we're going to look at Enoch, and then finally Noah, before we get into others in another section. In verse 4, in the NIV, this particular translation we have here in a few Bibles, we have three times the mention opening these sentences, these phrases, with the words, by faith, Abel, by faith, he was commended, and by faith, he still speaks. Three times. The account of Abel's faith, that how he lived by faith, is here commentary, but it goes back to, do you know what chapter it is in Genesis? Children? Chapter 4. In chapter 4. If you would turn there with me, Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 1 and 2, the creation. Genesis 3, the fall. Genesis 4, Cain and Abel, and those who descended from Adam and Eve. We read in the opening verses of Genesis chapter 4 that Eve bore, she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain, the firstborn of Eve, the eldest, the firstborn. Later, she bore a second son, his brother, Abel. Now, here we have a description of these two men as they when they grew up. Abel kept flocks. So children, someone who keeps flocks, he is a shepherd, right? And Cain worked the soil. That's someone who is cultivating, a farmer. So picture Abel with the animals and Cain in the garden, in the farm. And it says, in the course of time, each of them brought offerings to the Lord. And as you listen to what they brought as an offering, can you tell the difference between their offerings? What, there's definitely a difference here, but what is the difference here? It says that Cain brought some fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel brought an offering, fat portions of some of his firstborn of his flock. Which one did God accept? If you know the story, we know that the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, the Lord did not look with favor. Now, back to Hebrews chapter 11. Keeping your finger in Genesis 4, we also have a commentary on the offering that was accepted. It says here, the opening words of this verse, by faith Abel offered a better, that means literally greater, more excellent, an acceptable sacrifice or offering. It was better than what Cain offered. Question we should all ask ourselves is what? Why? Why was Abel's sacrifice better? Why was it greater than Cain's? Why did the Lord look on favor on Abel's offering and did not look with favor on Cain's? And there are three reasons here that we have in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. And each reason is because of his faith, right? By faith. Three times it says, by faith, by faith, by faith. And then for these reasons, we also have an example for us as we live by faith. 3 points to this message here. By faith, firstly, we bring a more acceptable sacrifice to God. The second point is, by faith, we are commended as righteous by God. And thirdly, by faith, we speak a testimony of Jesus. Firstly, by faith, we bring an acceptable sacrifice to God. Maybe you're asking yourself, how did Abel know the sacrifice that God wanted, an acceptable sacrifice? Did Abel hear instructions? Did Cain and Abel hear instructions from God? Or maybe they received instructions from their parents as to what God requires. We do know that in Genesis chapter 3, that God spoke, was communicating to Adam and Eve through actions of the clothing them with animal skins. Did God actually slaughter that animal in front of Adam and Eve? Perhaps. Did God explain to them as he slaughtered the animal, saying, this is what what's required of me. All right, this is what you need to bring to me, because without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. Is that what God did? What we do know is that there's a picture here. As they were given this clothing of animal skins, a clothing that it was very clearly sufficient in the sense that what they were proposing to cover themselves, which were fig leaves, was insufficient. But this, God said, this is what you need to cover you, and particularly to cover their sin. And it was only through the blood of a sacrifice, an animal who would function as a substitute for them, that would cover their sins. Now, children, all of you have tests and exams, or you're given a test. Imagine if you were given both the questions and the answers before you were to sit for the test. I would hope you would get 100% if you prepared yourself well, right? You would hope to do perfectly because you already know the questions on the test. You already know the answers. Now, did Abel know, in that sense, what the test was, what God required of him? So the question could be, how can a sinner be forgiven? And the answer, he might have known already that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And it seems clear that Abel did know. Why? Because the writer to the Hebrews says, by faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice. I'd like to make a connection here. If you just follow with me in a sec, in this way. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's how faith comes, by hearing the word of God. So, for Abel to have believed, he must first have heard the word of God, and then obeyed it by sacrificing to God according to the word of God, to God's instructions. Now, Cain must have also known what God's will was as well. For in Genesis chapter 4, if you turn there, Genesis 4, verse 7, it says, "The Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry? Why are your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted?'" If God said, "If you do what is right," Cain must have known what was right, and he was not doing it. It implies that he knew what was right. Instead, Cain's offering was bloodless. He didn't even give the best of his fruit. Did you notice that? He brought some fruits from his produce. He didn't make his sacrifice out of the obedience of faith. It wasn't his best. It wasn't with blood. And it wasn't by faith. Yet, we read here in Genesis 4 that he became angry. His face was downcast. He was dejected. Why was that? Did God somehow show to Cain, or before Cain and Abel, that he had specifically accepted that sacrifice? Was there some kind of visible demonstration of that? It's very possible, because in the Old Testament, we find how God visibly accepts offerings. He approves of them, often by sending fire from heaven down on the altar, on the sacrifice, to consume it. Here are some examples. Leviticus chapter 9, verse 24, when Aaron and the priests first began their priestly ministry, fire came down from the presence of the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat portions. And then in 1 Kings 18:38, we all know the story of Elijah. Children, you know about Elijah and how he faced the prophets of Baal. And when it was his time to sacrifice, he prayed to the Lord God of heaven. And then fire from the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stone, the soil, and licked up the water in the trench. It burned all up. That was showing God's approval of that offering, of that sacrifice. And then in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 1, can you think of what was happening there? That was the dedication of the temple by Solomon. And after he finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering, the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. What can we learn from Abel's sacrifice? That his sacrifice, which was accepted by God, we learn that Abel owned his sin. When he brought his offering, he was showing that he was a sinner before a holy God, and that he needed blood to mediate between him and God. And that was his sacrifice. That was his offering between him and God. In South Sudan, people who haven't heard the gospel are still sacrificing with animals, with blood. They sacrifice bulls and goats and chickens, and blood is shed. And they truly believe that that blood is an offering before God to appease God. Now, for us who know the good news, and those in South Sudan or in Africa who knows the good news, they know that God has provided one single sacrifice, one single offering, offered once and for all. And who is that, children? God's own, very own Son. The Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, that is Jesus. He is the one who comes in between, who mediates as the substitute lamb before God. Do you claim Him alone to be your substitute, to be your mediator, to be the only one that you would claim to come between you and God? As the hymn, I believe it's a hymn, "Nothing in my hands do I bring, simply to the cross do I cling." By faith in this sacrifice, are all our sacrifices accepted to God? Yes. As a new covenant believer, what sacrifices we bring, they are all mediated through Christ. And there are three sacrifices that I can think of from Scripture that we bring. They're no longer animal sacrifices, of course, but we do have sacrifices that we bring. The first is the heart. Psalm 51, verse 17. "My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, O God, will not despise." That is the sacrifice that we bring, our very own hearts. Now, this is in the Old Covenant Psalm book, but it's also a New Covenant Psalm book that we sing from. And we believe that that sacrifice is acceptable. When we humble our hearts, we're broken and contrite before God. That is a sacrifice. Secondly, we offer our bodies. Romans 12, verse 1. "In view of God's mercy, we offer bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." What does that mean, our bodies? It means all of our bodies, all of our faculties, everything about us. When we come to offer ourselves, it is to set ourselves apart for His service, for His worship. And the third way we can sacrifice is our lips. Hebrews 13:15, "Through Jesus," again, Jesus being the mediator in our sacrifices, "through Jesus, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips." When we are singing to the Lord, we are offering the sacrifice of praise. It is the fruit of our lips. We are confessing His name. All these offerings God will accept, and only through Jesus, through the mediator. Why is that? Because the Bible says that all of our righteous acts, anything that we think we can bring, any religious activity that we think we're doing, even worship here, is filthy rags, unless it is through Jesus. We might worship in truth, sing the Psalms a cappella, we might be doing everything right, but if it's not through Jesus, it is not acceptable to God. Even when Abel brought blood, even though he was doing the right thing, the writer to the Hebrews later on, or in chapter 10, it says it is impossible for the blood of animals to take away sin. Even that blood was not going to actually mediate. It was pointing to another who would come, whose blood would be shed. And only through Him, that precious blood of Jesus, will our offerings, or His offering and our offerings, be accepted. And this is how Abel was commended. This is how we are commended. It is by faith through Jesus Christ. So by faith, Abel was commended, and we are commended as righteous by God. Let's look at Hebrews 11, verse 4, and the second part there, 4b. "By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings." Another translation says, "through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts." Sounds quite different. And it begins, that second translation from the New American Standard says, "by which," or "through which," likely refers to Abel's faith, not about his sacrifice, but by his faith. That's why the NIV says, "by faith he was commended as a righteous man." Abel was the first in all these who are listed here to be commended. Others were commended here, but he's the first to be commended for his faith. And he was commended as a righteous man. And it also says, he obtained the testimony that he was righteous. The Bible also refers to Abel as a righteous man. In other places, Matthew 23, verse 35, Jesus calls Abel righteous. And the context here is interesting because Jesus here is pronouncing those woes, those judgments on the Pharisees and the scribes. And he says these words, on you, that means the judgment on you may come on all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of innocent Abel, from his blood, all the prophets was going to be on the blood of these unbelieving Jews. And Abel's blood here is called righteous, his righteous blood. 1 John 3:12, another reference. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil. Now listen, his brothers were righteous. He references Abel's deeds as righteous. And we don't want to misunderstand this verse to say that Abel was righteous on the basis of his deeds. Because here it says that by faith, it was by his faith that he was commended as righteous. Again, we talked about that last Lord's Day, that faith is the means by which one is commended. Abel demonstrated his faith, though, through his deeds, as he offered that acceptable sacrifice. You see, God's mode of accepting anything we do is very different from how we accept people or commend people or judge people. It's very different. Example, there are many contests, many things that we find people performing, and there's often a panel of judges, and they will judge or commend someone on the basis of their performance. And I was hearing recently on Al Mohler about the Miss America pageant is now changing. They're going to base their judgment, their awarding of Miss America, not only on the way they look, but they're wanting to now judge them on their basis of how they are helping the world. So it could be the way someone's performance, it could be the way someone looks, it could be what they are doing, their deeds. That's how we judge people. But that's not how God judges us. It's not on the basis of our deeds. With God, who sees everything, he sees us inside and out, his commendation is based on how we respond to him, how we respond to his Son. And that when we believe in him, the person and the work of Christ, then on that basis of Christ, then everything that we do by faith in him is made acceptable. As one translation says, God gave Abel a good report. He was given a good report. That was that he was commended as righteous. God accepted his gifts. Again, it's by faith. By faith. Through faith. The means of faith. By faith, he was commended as righteous. We are commended as righteous. Not on the basis of our merits, but on the basis of Christ's merits. And his righteousness. Lastly, Abel's faith also spoke out. Even though he's dead, long dead, he still speaks today. Abel's faith speaks. And it's the same for us. By faith, we speak a testimony of Jesus. This last part here in verse 4 says, and by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. Did you know that Abel still speaks? He is speaking. There is this great story of this man called Abel and his faith. It's recorded in the Bible, and it still speaks today. It's speaking right here. His faith is speaking. It's a sermon that sinners can only approach a holy God through the death of a substitute. Only those who have faith in God's provided substitute, faith in his sufficient sacrifice of his Son, pointing to the one who would come, will be accepted. That's the message that Abel was preaching as he offered those from his flock, the firstborn of his flock. But it is with those who refuse to obey God, instead, they're given over to their sins. We find, as Cain was, Genesis chapter 4, speaking another message here. Turn with me in Genesis chapter 4, verse 6, as we look at the rest of this story. Because Abel's story ends here. Verse 6, it says, "And the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it." Did Cain master it? Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." And that, while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother and killed him. And the Lord said to Cain, "Where's your brother, Abel?" "I don't know," he replied. "Am I my brother's keeper?" The Lord said, "What have you done? Listen." Okay, there's a voice here speaking out. "Your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." The blood of Abel is crying out from the ground. That's where Abel's story ends. But his blood continues to speak. Even in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24, it says, "To the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel." And the whole context of that part of Hebrews chapter 12 speaks of those who come to Mount Zion, who come to Jesus, the mediator of a better covenant, who come to the sprinkled blood, which is better than the blood of Abel. How is it better? The sprinkled blood of Jesus in the new covenant speaks of forgiveness. It speaks of reconciliation. And that's in contrast with Abel's blood that speaks of justice. His blood crying out for vengeance against his brother. You see how that blood of Jesus speaking better than Cain's blood, but they both speak. Abel is one of those whose blood was shed on the ground, where the blood is crying out. We find in Revelation chapter 6, verse 9 to 11. If you know that reference, it's speaking of the martyrs, those who were slain for the testimony that they held unto death, and who are crying out in heaven now, saying, "How long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge their blood?" It's the same with Abel's blood. Abel's among those martyrs saying, "How long, Lord? How long until you will revenge those who have spilt our blood?" Abel's blood, the blood of the martyrs, cries out for revenge. But again, there is another blood that was shed that's better than that. It's not of vengeance. It's not of condemnation. But it's of forgiveness. It's of reconciliation. And that's the testimony even that Abel had. He spoke that testimony through his deeds. When he brought that offering, he knew that this was a better blood than my own. This was the blood that he offered, that he knew that was pointing, even that blood of the animal was pointing to another blood that would be shed. And he testified of that blood. What is your testimony? It says here, when we talk about our testimony of Jesus, what is your testimony? Is it that the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross is that blood that you claim for your forgiveness, for your redemption that sets you free? The Bible says, let the redeemed say so. Let the redeemed speak. Give a testimony of that blood that was shed. Let's pray. Father, we speak that testimony of the blood that was shed long ago for us. The precious blood of the Lamb, the pure and spotless Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And we speak as those who have been redeemed by that blood. And so we thank you for that single sacrifice offered once and for all, offered for us, among us who are the part of that all, those who trust in him by faith live in that once and for all sacrifice for us. And so we pray, Father, that you will put those words on our lips, that we would testify of you and also bring an offering, a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you. And we do give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.